please join us as we welcome the members of the Nat Adderley Quintet, beginning with Draw for God on piano. Walter Booker on bass. Walter Booker. Jimmy Carr on drums. Vincent Herring on saxophone. And on cornet, the great Nat Adderley. Thank you.
That's a song that flows by, and it's pin surrounded with friends. And Joe Zabinui. Some of you may have heard of Joe Zabinui. That song's titled Scotch and Water. Nobody at the front table was having that. That's what Joe used to bring. Scotch and Water. We play a lot of songs like that. Songs that are composed by jazz musicians, and preferably ones that are composed by members of the band, or that I write. See, we play music like that because when we do, you never heard it before and you don't have anything to relate to. So you can't turn around and say, well, I thought he was all right, but he ain't no Dizzy Gillespie. Well, you can't compare that because Dizzy never played that music I'm talking about. He never even heard it. So, just now and then we play something that is comparable, or in this case, comparable. I think it would work out. This next one, again, is not comparable. It was composed by our bassist, Walter Booker. Mr. Booker has composed this song that is a samba. It is a bossa nova. And it is beautiful. And Mr. Booker has two titles for it. His first title is Books Bossa, which is kind of a mundane title. But the other title is the one we're playing, called Saudade. Saudade. Portuguese word. Saudade sounds exotic. Sounds a hell of a lot better than Books Bossa. So we're not going to play Books Bossa because we don't want to be mundane in what we're doing. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is Walter Booker's composition, Saudade. Saudade. Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll hear it tonight, and you'll have the sheet Monday. As a matter of fact, we've already performed the song. This song, when I say it's most unique, it's different. Because I got a thing in the mail from American Telephone and Telegraph. And they said in it that they would be willing to give a grant of a specific amount of money if one were willing to write an extended piece for jazz group and symphony orchestra. And I looked at it and said, well, that doesn't mean me, because I can't write for a symphony orchestra. I write music for a quintet. And a symphony orchestra is a little bit bigger, slightly bigger. But I looked at the list of people who had already received some of these grants, and on there I saw some friends of mine, like Miles Davis. And I know Miles. And Miles can't write for symphony orchestra either. I know he can't write for symphony orchestra, so I figured, well, maybe I better check this out. Turns out to be a very simple thing. You write the song and then get somebody to arrange it for the symphony orchestra. And I had an arranger playing piano in my band. So I said, okay, I'll try. And they gave me the money. And I said, whoa, this is all right. So we just performed this work with the symphony orchestra in Florida, Lakeland, Florida, Florida Southern College. We just did this. Now, don't get excited. We can't play the symphony part. Because I don't even know, they don't swing anyway. But we're going to play the parts that we played, and you get a general idea of what the whole thing is. It's inserted in among the timpani and the other things that go with the symphony. So here's our new work called The Child of the Sun that we just performed at Symphony Orchestra. We're going to do it tonight for you, Sands Symphony. Here's A Child of the Sun. Child of the Sun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Diamond and Ken, that is.
Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we have to mention people. We don't normally mention people, but sometimes people are so important that you have to mention them. We have one of the most eloquent spokesmen for jazz visiting us this evening. We're so very happy and very proud of what he's done, because he did something that nobody else was ever able to do. He gave us jazz on television every week for the last 7 or 8 years. Every week we had some jazz that we could depend on weekly coming on the television, which very seldom has jazz. So we are very proud and very happy to have this eloquent spokesman visiting us. And we're not going to have them stand up because we don't want to go through changes, but we'd like for you to welcome, with a round of applause, Mr. Bill Cosby.
Boy, you stood up anyway. See, I was trying to let you out of that, right? Trying to keep you from having to stand up and wave to the crowd so everybody would know where you were and come by and get autographs. So he's in the back, and you can get your autograph signed right back there. There's William Cosby, Dr. William Cosby.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for coming.
Dollar. You have something. Whoa!
Yeah. Say, wait a minute. We'll play the Confederate fight song for that. Here's a song that is one of my favorite songs. Because, again, I wrote it. I love what I write. And you know that, Bill. Hey, it starts to fill up in here when you sit there. Oh, well, just take whatever you want. Tell them that you're Dr. Cosby. No, I tell them for you. You put another 50 up there, and I tell them to put these people out.
There ain't that much money.
So we're going to play this song for you, Bill. This is the Jive Samba. Here's the Jive Samba. Thank you.
basis in all of modern American music is our basis, the great Walter Booker. And we do have our legend. We have a legendary drummer. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Jimmy Cobb. Legend in the making, our brilliant young alto saxophonist, Vincent Herring.
Thank you. Thank you. was composed by his bassist of ours, very good friend, the great Sam Jones. Sam Jones wrote that song. The title of it is Unit 7. Unit 7 is the number of a motel room that Sam was living in when we were working in Detroit 1 week a few years ago. Sam had a marvelous time at Unit 7. I was in Unit 6. That's the story of my life. Being late and a unit short. Unit 7. While I'm speaking of Sam Jones, we're going to play a song now that is a dedication. We're going to do it now so that we can go ahead and get this taken care of. My brother, the late, great Cannonball Band, made an album. Some years ago, that was one of the great albums in modern jazz, an album called Something Else. Something Else. Great album. Had great people on it. That's the man who wrote that song, Sam Jones, great bass on that album. Piano, played by Hank Jones. He's pretty good too. Drums, Art Blakey. Yeah, Art. Right. Trumpet, Miles Davis. Yeah. I mean, he's already like that kind of thing. Know the great Miles Davis played trumpet. And we used to play this song, and we dedicated to Canada, of course. More recently, now we dedicated to Miles Davis and to Cannonball. One of the songs on that album was this one, one that we liked very much, and we dedicated to those two great giants who are no longer with us. Here's the same arrangement that was done then, Autumn Leaves. Thank you.
Thank you.
because they're fast. And we have to let you know somewhere along the way that you can play fast. Some people will come in and stay in, and we don't do that. They'll go out and say, well, they were all right, but they didn't play fast. So we want you to know that we can play fast. We've studied hard and we have our instrumental technique together and we play fast. And now that we've done that, we don't have to do that anymore. That's tough. I'm telling you. It knocks me out to play fast. Let you know we can play fast, because I know I don't have to do that anymore tonight. We're going to play a song now that has a little something I'm going to tell you a little bit about. This next song, you see, I mentioned my brother Tannenbaum before. We had this band, and most people didn't know that I was a partner in that band. I had half of the band, you know. Couldn't even get fired because the contract was filed with Mama. Cameron still wanted to get rid of me, but he can't get that contract back from Mama. So I was cool with that. It didn't matter to me that the name outside said Cannonball Adderley Quintet. That didn't bother me because I was getting half of the money. And that was cool. Except for one little thing. Gee, Cannonball had this house in Bel Air out in Hollywood, on top of a hill, and I had a house in the valley in Teaneck, New Jersey. Cannonball used to win all those polls, you know, he'd win the poll for being alto saxophone. He won the Playboy poll 13 straight years. And so he had all these awards in his music room. I had a music room in Teaneck. Had about four little things on the wall, and I think three of them were from the elementary school in Teaneck. You know, going up and talking to people. So I felt kind of strange. I wanted to have some awards on my wall. So we made an agreement that Cannonball would keep all those saxophone awards, but when the band won an award, then I would get it. And the very next one we won was the band. And it was the biggie, the Grammy Award. He said, whoa, I got that Grammy. I was so happy to get the Grammy Award that a little while after that, I built a house down in Florida and had a thing built in the wall just to put my Grammy and moved to Florida. Yeah. People would ring my front doorbell. I'd go to the door and say, you come see my Grammy? Happy about the Grammy. Well, then, unfortunately, Cannonball died. And Florida A&M University, which we are graduates of Florida A&M, set up an archive series of the graduates. And, of course, Cannonball being a prominent graduate of Florida A&M, they wanted some memorabilia. So they went to my mother and father in Tallahassee where they lived, and they got some records and a couple of things from them and some articles and stuff, you know. And they wanted my Grammy. I told them they could get whatever they wanted from my mom and daddy, but I ain't getting them off my Grammy. So one day my mama got in her car and drove 250 miles to where I live and took my Grammy and gave it to them. So I wouldn't play the song. I said, I ain't playing the song no more till y'all give me back my Grammy. And they wouldn't give me back the Grammy. But a couple of years ago I grew up and said, okay, I'm going to play the song. They ain't going to give me back the Grammy. So they still got my Grammy. You want to see my Grammy? Go by Florida and check that out. See, I would have taken it back had it been anybody but Mama. But you know what your mama does. I mean, you can't do nothing about that. You know? But if it had been one of y'all, I'd have whooped you. So now we're going to play this song. This is a Grammy Award winning song because I'm a better person and a bigger person. And I'm going to play the song. And I had a request to play the song. And I'm going to do it now. Here's our Grammy Award winning Mercy, Mercy, Mercy.
gentlemen, our swinging pianist, Lone Ranger, Rob Buckhorn. And our great, great bassist, great Rob Booker. Is Vincent Herring. And we gotta take our last intermission for this evening. We're gonna take our intermission, get ourselves together, and come back to the next live show. We hope you can stick around. We only got one more night. We gotta go. I'm back tomorrow. We'll be taking it out. But now, we're gonna take it a minute, cool ourselves up, and see it in a little bit.
Thank you.
home. 10 bars from home. That's supposed to be a play on words, because the song is 10 bars long, and 10 bars is an odd number of bars for a song to have. But of course, if that's very interesting to you, I'm sure. Now you know all about it. 10 bars from home. See, I tell people every night that I write a lot of songs, and I generally play all of them. This next one is even newer than that one. So I'm going to talk about it in a minute so that the band can go over and be sure that we have the correct rhythm going in order to make this work. Well, this next song is it's in 3/4 time, and it's a little bit different. And its title is BJ. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what the Big J means, but it's a tricky little song, and I hope that we have this together. And if we don't have it together, remember that we only played it once, and that was about a month ago. So we're checking on it. You hear him checking? Sound all right to you?
Yeah.
You got it?
That's all
right. That's all right. You got it. Here's Big J. Check this out.
Thank you.
two, and they both worked out okay. Now we're going to do something we haven't done in at least 2 months, maybe three. We're going to feature the rhythm section. We haven't featured the rhythm section in a long, long time. I don't even know whether they remember what they were playing for. But whatever it is, they're going to play whatever they want to. Because this is their time to do what we consider is the that part of the program that you deal with, the federal guidelines. Equal opportunity band, and everybody gets to play whatever the hell he wants to do sometimes. So now we're going to play whatever the rhythm section wants to play. And here they are, Ralph Bagard at the piano, Walter Booker on bass, and Jimmy Cobb on drums, playing whatever they want to play. Here they are.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming to that Q Fingerless Q Gazel program.